This is the Future of Law podcast, where we explore what it means to be a lawyer and law firm of the future. I'm Judas from Australia.
And I'm Tessa from Canada. We are two entrepreneurs working on each edge of the planet, bringing you a platform to explore what the future holds for the legal industry. Hello, Kudus.
Hi, Tessa. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm very excited for today's podcast. And what about you?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this topic, actually. So can't wait for you to tell us all about it.
Yes.
Get it started off.
I have made a suggestion to Kudus to talk about something quite unexpected. Maybe it's going to surprise you. Maybe you're going to feel like, what is this topic? But that's exactly why we have this podcast, to talk about topics that are not necessarily covered in what we would call the mainstream media in the industry. And so today I would like to suggest that we have a discussion on the topic of beauty and the law. And the reason for that is that as individuals, as human beings, we are attracted to beauty. We are attracted to things and people who are beautiful to us. And so in the legal field, how can we produce documents, products, and services that are beautiful? So they are more likely to, you know, attract customers and to make them happy.
Let's get into it. I'll let you take the wheel.
It's time to think about how can we make those tools beautiful? Because by making them beautiful, we're more likely to sort of please our customers and give them an experience that is much more enjoyable than the experience we are delivering today, which is an experience that is, there's no colors today. It's monochrome, black and white. There's not much originality. If we were to open a museum, a contract museum, I can tell you, people are going to be bored because all of the contracts, they look the same. Let's make it very interactive. And I want to ask a series of questions. But I think the first question is, I would like to ask you, Kudus, what is beauty to you? And to help you answer that question, that might be a bit difficult initially, I would like to ask you if you could define beauty in three words or three things that, according to you, you know, three things, three features that make things beautiful. What would those three things be?
One of the things that come to my mind, and I don't know if it's something that is, well, I'll throw it out there and see what happens. For me, symmetry is beautiful. So something, you know, something that is balanced, something that is complementary sometimes. But complementary doesn't mean that it's a copy, you know, or a mirror image. But symmetry, I think, is very attractive when we consider, you know, visualizing something. Symmetry makes it very attractive. I think our architecture reflects that generally. More of the classic architecture. Other characteristics. Another one would be, if it was a thing, I would say nature. But it's interesting because in nature we see symmetry, we also see diversity, we see colors. We see, I guess another thing that's really beautiful, beauty is I don't know the word for it, but you know how everything is different, but in its collective, it creates an image. So like, let's say there's a picture of a landscape or a painting of a landscape, and there's symmetry in the blades of grass. Right, in each individual blade of grass, there's symmetry because they're designed that way. They're designed to grow that way. But then you have different lengths in those blade of grass, and they're oriented in different ways. And then, so as you step away from the singular blade of grass, which attracts you because of its symmetry and color, you start to see a diverse iteration or implementation of each blade of grass, and then as a collective you have this beautiful image. So for me, that's sort of, that's an, I don't know what the word is for that, but that's something that it, that is beautiful.
So it's the fact that you can capture the individual as much as the collective, and there's beauty both in the individual as well as in the collective picture.
100%. The global picture. That's exactly right.
So that means,
yeah.
So because we're doing this,
or the cohesion, isn't it the cohesion?
Yeah, and it's diverse.
You know, the fact that it's diverse, they suit each other.
Exactly. So why are we asking those questions to ourselves, and why I'm inviting you, Kudus, as well as listeners to ask those questions? Because we tend to overlook beauty, and we tend to, for instance, for a contract, I think it's going to be easier if we take an example. With a contract, we tend to draft a contract in the same way, black and white, on paper. And usually we have those headlines and we have those paragraphs that are numbered. And at the end, we have signatures. And of course, we have the title and we have a preamble and all of the provisions that are we are used to see and to indicate in a contract. So how can we make a contract more beautiful? And this is why I was asking you, Kudus, what is beauty to you? Because to make a contract beautiful for you, you would need to have a contract that is symmetrical. Is it symmetrical? I mean, so that has
symmetrical. Yeah.
It would need to be sort of accurate in the details, but it would need to also be sort of, you know, beautiful in its big picture, in the big picture it conveys. And so for the listeners, you know, depending on the answers you have to what is beauty to you, because it's different perspective for everyone. We all have a different perspective and understanding of what is beauty. We all attracted to different things and to different people. That's good, you know, we want that. And so for the listeners, once you start reflecting for yourself on what is beauty to you, and then you can start using those elements and incorporating it in your work. So for instance, if you have to draft a contract and you would like to start, you know, bringing creativity into the way you work and giving an experience to your client that is more enjoyable and attracts those clients that are going to resonate with your values, you can start incorporating those elements in the way you work. And that way, I believe you're going to be able to deliver a product that is so much more original and so much more you. So you're able to express yourself in your individuality and in your sort of artistic individuality, because we are all creators. Even as lawyers, we are all creators. And so you can use creativity, for instance, in contract, in order to deliver a product that is more beautiful.
Yeah. And I'm thinking this sort of, it repeats across various things, right? You can, contract is a great example, but then you have, let's say, if you have a portal or a website or something, these things start to become important as our services start to become more client focused rather than this is how we've always done things. So there can be a real, I guess, flexibility and freedom and necessity to put thought into what does our product service look like? What does it feel like? How does it attract? Right? And the attraction isn't only going to be, of course, it's fundamental, it's not only going to be the value that you're providing, which is another whole topic, you know, that we can go into, but in terms of actual, you know, people, it's interesting. We can ask a question like, why are people, you know, especially as the technology with phones are becoming more ubiquitous, you know, and there are improvements, but they're more iterative and less fundamental at the moment. That could always change. Why do people go for the next model or two models after that? And I think the fundamental consideration there is obviously the value that it may bring. However, I think the thing that really attracts people to it is its aesthetic. So they think it's something that's beautiful, it's well made, It uses materials that are pleasing to the eye and to the touch. So, you know, with this concept, I think that that is going to be, and that almost is a perfect example, because that, that phone is almost the perfect, that phone is what everyone is buying and is attracted to. And that is setting the baseline for beauty in a way. So let's, so what I'm trying to say is that, like, if a firm is looking at what does it mean to be customer centric, and an individual's life or a potential client's life is, you know, run by and so, and used through their phone, or a predominant amount of it is used with the phone, then it, that set up the baseline for your interaction or the firm's interaction or a lawyer's interaction with their client, right? So then it does become important. If you're going to build something that interacts with that phone, if you're going to build an app, if you're going to build some form of communication using these devices, there needs to be thought about how beautiful it is, as well as how value driven it is in terms of its
The value, you know, is the content, and the beauty is how you package the content. To me, something is beautiful because it's very colorful. But it might not be the case for everybody, and this is when it gets interesting, because we all have a different perception of beauty. And so the packaging is extremely important, especially, as you said, if you want to be customer-centric. And today the world is about being customer-centric. And in the legal field, we have a tendency to rather fit in the norm, like we rather to conform to the norm instead of, you know, trying to be different. And what I mean by being different is is really by being yourself. And by being yourself,
well, it's being diverse, right?
It's diversity. By being yourself, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
You're going to attract clients that are just like you. And so by starting to think about integrating beauty in the way you work, in the way you package your work, in the way you design your website, in the way you design your branding, your business cards, and if you do develop an app or some kind of mechanism, like a bot or whatever you want to build, well, it's time to think about how can we make those tools beautiful. And then when we're going to open this museum, Kudus and I, the contract museum, I think customers are going to be really excited to go and check those contracts of yours.
As we reimagine what the core tenets of serving society means, beauty in what's written, beauty in what it looks like, beauty in the concept. There's already a lot of beauty in being a lawyer, being an advocate, in upholding the rule of law, in serving others. There is a lot of beauty in that. So I think, and I wanted to touch on another point as well. You mentioned this concept of diversity, and that in being yourself, you attract people who are like you. I'd probably take it a step further than that to say that, yes, you would do that. But the reality is you're not only going to attract people like you. There are fundamental pillars in this concept of beauty that is attractive to every person, right? And I think that diversity does bring about obviously the individual and the individual's tastes and style. And yes, people who are attracted to that will stay, but others who are perhaps not as attracted to that particular way of doing things will still see beauty in something that's more fundamental. And maybe there's beauty in intention. Maybe there's beauty in authenticity, right? That whilst it's not perhaps to the same taste of everyone, I can still look at it and be attracted to it by understanding that it is authentic, by understanding that it
is. So beauty of the intention and beauty of, you know, beauty in this profession and the mission that we have in this field. And this is beautiful because usually most of the people who work in this field started initially because they have a sense of justice, Some are maybe more, you know, sort of into social justice and fighting discrimination and making sure everybody has a fair and equal treatment. For some others, you know, you know, there's different reasons why we studying this topic, the law. But for sure, there is a certain beauty in the act of going to law school and then dedicating your career to basically helping others solving problems and helping society, you know, live in helping individuals live in a society that is somehow beautiful. At least, you know, that the laws are here in order to make sure that we live in a beautiful society in a way. And if we look at the courts, if we look at the court system, and if we just enter a courtroom, you will see a lot of signs of beauty. So this is why this topic is not odd at all. The law has been connected to beauty for a long time. You can see statues, like all of the statues of Lady Justice, all of the paintings of Lady Justice as well, and the writings and the poetry. I mean, it has been a topic that has inspired a lot of authors, a lot of painters, a lot of sculptors, certainly, I'm sure, musicians, artists. Yeah. And so it's not just that the law is a topic of inspiration for the artist, but it is something that is beautiful. And so artists, what do? They like to sublime reality. And so they take this topic as an inspiration. But now, how can we, in this profession, also be inspired ourselves by what we do and bring another layer, which is beautiful, in a way that is gonna make us feel that we're making a difference, but we're also bringing beauty to the world and to this profession.
Right. I honestly think, I mean, I agree. It is a question. I think it's a, I think I consider it as a resurgence. Like it's tapping back into the roots. There may have been a wave of trying to figure out other layers that are equally important, but perhaps don't tap to the roots, or perhaps are tangents on the roots of law and why we've instigated this framework in our society. But perhaps it's just been less of a current focus, and I think that needs to return in order for us
to make a renaissance. I think this is the time of the renaissance.
Almost, that's what it is.
We are in
I can agree with that.
Time where we are rethinking the way we deliver justice, the way we deliver legal services. If we want to be more practical. And it could be a renaissance for the legal field. And the renaissance is about beauty.
I think the technology convergence is forcing us to consider this very seriously. I think the way that people interact in society and the use of technology and that the additional layers that's created by way of opening up communication, opening up interactivity between content producers and content consumers, between service consumers and service providers. This has changed the dynamic. A lot of things will still be relevant. It's not a matter of just removing everything we know, but it is a time to reassess. And in that reassessment, that's where that renaissance, I think it draws back to what are the core values.
For sure. And it's also about, you know, you have talked about diversity, and I want to bring that to another level as well, is that, you know, this renaissance was made possible because there were so many artists and intellectuals and just individuals who at those times were so committed to rethinking, you know, like everything, you know, and we haven't had that in a long time, just in history, you know, we haven't had that. It was a very special time, but now we're having those discussions for the legal field, and we are starting to, you know, collaborate more and more with technologies, with designers, with also data analysts and business intelligence and all of that, which is entirely new. So we are at the beginning of a possible renaissance, I believe. And this is a time where we are, can all contribute and we can all have a role to play, if only we are, as you said, aware and willing as well to bring some ideas on the table, so we can inspire each other, inspire ourselves first and inspire others. So this is why I would be extremely curious to have our listeners share with us, what is beauty to you? What makes contracts? What would make contracts more beautiful to you? What would make the legal products and services more beautiful? I would love to hear from you. And you know, you can always connect with Kudus and with myself. You can send us a message on LinkedIn. You can tweet on Twitter. You can tweet, what is beauty to you? And how do you want to use beauty in your work? And you can even send us an audio, and we'll be happy to, more than happy to share it on one of the next podcasts, and to, you know, sort of circle back to this discussion and bring it to the next level with your contributions.
The other thing I would add to that is, maybe sort of unpacking those questions, is, you know, what services, experiences, or products have you recently interacted with that you actually truly find beautiful? So, you know, it's a chance to sort of shout out those products for other people to be exposed to those products and understand, you know, perhaps just dive in a bit to explain why you find them beautiful, what you think that's been done right there that makes it attractive. Because that's there are examples out there, you know, whether it's legal tech or the branding of a particular firm. But the reality is that, you know, it's going to be a package. So we'd really be interested to know any examples that you have in the field outside of your own reflections that you've seen, you know, part of your experience as well. That'd be great to sort of hear. What's our Twitter handle?
It's so this is the future of Flow Podcast. So it means it's TFOL Podcast, I believe.
So at TFOL Podcast.
Yeah.
So you can
TFOL.
Yep. Podcast. So that'd be cool. We'd hear it through Twitter. We can hear it in through our email. If you would like to either send a voice or video or written submission,
and we're going
to
feature
send
you.
It to the Future of Law.
For sure.
Yeah. And to the Future of Law podcast at gmail.com.
Before we end this episode, I would love to know if Kudus, would you start incorporating beauty into legal work? And how would you incorporate that? So we give a concrete example to our listeners. Do you have any?
Would I? Yes, I would. At the moment, I'm not practicing because my company doesn't actually provide legal services, but I think it would be central to my conversation.
And how would you advise them
to explore what is that? Well, I mean, I'd look at it from, I'd give examples of what we have around us. I think the phone is a great example, the design, that design, usability, accessibility, and the opportunity that's provided us as a baseline. I think I gave that example at the start of the episode. That would be a great example to move forward on, to say, you know, take the clients through a process of, you know, looking at the phones that they actually have, understanding what may attract them to it, and then understanding that that is a baseline. The environment that's been provided, the ecosystem that's been provided and is being used by a majority of your potential clients, what can you build that is within that ecosystem that is is still attractive? So there's layers to it. There's the hardware, there's the software. And now it would be, you know, an application, a portal, a way of, you know, visualizing, or whether it's actually the social media, you know, your outreach, your interactivity, for instance. Those are all part of the process.
Branding, I think. So, and branding is there is a huge opportunity for beauty in order to brand yourself in a way that is attractive.
Correct.
And so to have a very nice branding that represents you, represents your values and represents your vision as well. This is how I would use beauty. I would use beauty for branding purposes, for lawyers and law firms. Mm. And I would use beauty, I would integrate mm-hmm. beauty much more in contracts. I have taken this example because I think it's the most obvious, given the way we
yes.
draft, the contract that drafted today is really lacking beauty to me. The content might be very useful and valuable, but it's not user-centric. Yes. And it's definitely, if you ask anyone to look at a contract, I don't think anyone is going to say this is beautiful. So there is a huge opportunity in contracts. So, and with visuals, as you said, integrating visuals, I think this is another way to make everything that is done in this field more beautiful by integrating visuals, integrating colors, and integrating maybe mm-hmm. like changing the structure a little bit to make it more user-centric and to make it more attractive.
Yes. Well, thank you for bringing that up, Tessa, and as a topic. Remember, you mentioned it might be a bit odd, but I think in reality, after having that brief conversation, that it is very much relevant. And I'm thinking about it and I'm recognizing that beauty is a fundamental function because it actually addresses both the content, which is important for lawyers and law firms, but also the visual, which is what is important and attractive also to clients as well. So it covers all facets. If you address beauty, you address the value, the content, and what it looks like and how it feels.
That's fantastic. So I really look forward to seeing more beauty into the future of law and to building this renaissance all together. Thank you for joining us. If this episode resonates with you, we'd love for you to subscribe to this podcast and share it with your colleagues and friends. Follow and leave your feedback on Twitter and like us on Facebook.
You can connect with Tessa and myself on LinkedIn, Twitter, and you can also visit our websites, futurelab.legal and legalcreatives.com.